Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at OANDA. And Ed, it's always great having you on the show to discuss the wild and woolly markets that we have. And there's been no shortage of dull moments here with the banking sector over the last 2 weeks. But over the weekend, we had even more excitement as Credit Suisse was taken over, or it's in the process of being taken under, I guess you could say, by UBS Bank, along with some backstopping from the Swiss National Bank. So pretty big news in the banking sector. Again, a couple other regional banks still wobbling and a lot of concern out there in Wall Street. But what's your general takeaway from the last couple of weeks in this banking sector? Everything starting with Silicon Valley Bank and then rippling overseas now.
It's fascinating. It seems we have not really had much success with the post-2008 regulation that was supposed to prevent another banking crisis. I think, you know, Credit Suisse, they got their bailout. You know, the Swiss authorities were quick. They had to decide, you know, fairly fast. Do we nationalize? Do we just break up the company? Or can we arrange a shotgun marriage with their biggest rival, UBS? And looks like they went with that option. And it seems that not just central bankers, but government leaders, they are determined to make sure that we don't have another global financial crisis. And it seems that we're seeing aggressive action take place. In addition to the UBS Credit Suisse deal, we also had the Fed and other key central banks that decided to do coordinated action to boost dollar funding. So we're seeing a lot of action taking place by governments and central bankers, which should provide some optimism here that they're looking to contain this situation. And that's probably why we've seen a little bit of risk appetite at moments over the past 24 hours. But I think overall, we still have a banking crisis. This is not going to change the dramatic move we're seeing from money going from small, medium-sized banks to the bigger ones. And right now, I think there's a, you know, Wall Street is, they're trying to assess, well, what's the contagion factor? And today we saw only First Republic really get hit hard. The other regional banks are doing not too shabby. They're actually, a lot of them are positive in early trade. But I think we're still far from seeing this crisis being over. And I think for a lot of traders, they have to understand that the problem with the banks is not going to be fixed anytime soon. Unfortunately, deposit flights are going to remain in place. I think, you know, there's just too much attractive yield with money market rates, and people are looking to diversify away from traditional banking. So that's definitely weighing on them. And I think for a lot of these banks, they struggled with how they're extremely kind of vulnerable to their exposure to long duration. So I think they're really going to have trouble unwinding that. So this is a difficult rate environment for them. And no, we'll wait to see exactly how far this contagion is. But it seems that it's not going to be rectified anytime soon, given the current environment.
Yeah, Ed, we'll keep following along. But all things considered, the markets have had a little bit more risk appetite, as you mentioned, than many people would expect in the middle of a banking crisis. And a lot of people have claimed this was the Fed finally breaking something in the financial system, these series of banks that have gone down from Silicon Valley to the Silvergate. We've seen a couple of regional banks seeing big withdrawals. So that trend to get out of small and regional and into large banks is another issue that the smaller banks have got to deal with as deposits flee. But all things considered, the markets have held up pretty well. Do you think this was the Fed breaking something, or is this more just an issue of how quickly rates have gone up, kind of throwing off the assets that the banks had on their balance sheets?
I think monetary policy, you know, clearly has hit those restrictive levels where you are seeing some parts of the economy break. You know, I think for banks, you know, I mean, you take a look at the flat yield curve that was killing them. Credit spreads widening, funding costs are surging. And now you're looking at an economy where the small and medium-sized banks, they're not going to lend as easily as we're used to. So you're definitely going to see a big hit to the economy. And that is going to definitely help bring down inflation. So I think we'll see exactly what happens. But I think this is a market that is now kind of prepared to see exactly, how much weakness do we get, and that's why you're seeing these Fed rate cut expectations. They keep on going up. I mean, in the last couple hours, we've seen it was almost fully priced in for a cut at the June meeting. Now we're only at like 90%, but I think there's still a growing consensus here that the Fed's work is done and that they're going to have to soon go into accommodation mode here. And I think that might be a little bit premature. And we're seeing a market that is very unsure as far as what will the Fed do, how quickly is growth going to crumble, and exactly, I think no one wants to write a forecast, especially in pen, as far as what will happen with inflation and GDP over, the next several months. I think it's anything can really, I think influence that outlook. So we'll see what the Fed does, if they refrain from updating their forecasts later this week. But this is a difficult environment, but I think growth is definitely, we're in slowdown mode here for the economy, and we're headed towards a recession. And I think as that happens, you see people anticipate more rate cuts a lot sooner than probably that will happen.
Yeah, boy, it's really been a quick 180 that the markets have done, where just a month or two back, really to kick off the year, it seemed like there were going to be rate hikes for higher for longer, and people had resigned that there wouldn't even be cuts until next year, or if nothing else, maybe the fourth quarter. And now those have all been moved forward in a very short amount of time. And it seems like most market participants and even the Fed funds futures are betting on the Fed wrapping things up soon. We'll see what Powell and the Fed have in store for us later this week when we hear from them. And there will undoubtedly be some market volatility on the back of that. But one thing that catches my eye is that the dollar is still down on the day to kick off the week here on Monday, but it's actually been trending down the last week or so. And other currencies have been gaining on the greenback, so that's kind of counterbalanced against those other world currencies. But other things have been getting the safe haven bid instead of the US dollar. Gold has, to some degree, bonds have, and Bitcoin and some of the cryptos have. It seems like there is a move to some more defensive names like that. What do you make of that move to other safe havens, but not necessarily the dollar?
Well, I think when you take a look at what's happening with yields, when you take a look at the Fed rate cut expectations, this is a market that now is anticipating that you're headed towards a slowdown here. You're going to have a recession in the U.S. And I think we have to remind ourselves, last year was King Dollar. It was a relentless trade. Now you're going to see that policymakers are probably going to have, I think, a tough battle here, but I think you're seeing the end of global central bank tightening rapidly approaches. So I think you're probably going to have, I think, more optimism abroad. The China reopening has been sluggish, but once that takes off, you're probably going to see markets become a little bit more optimistic with some of those commodity currencies. And I think there's, for the most part, this move into risk aversion is really going to benefit the Japanese yen. Swiss franc would have been a part of that conversation, but since they were so tied to everything happening with Credit Suisse, and you're seeing less safe haven flows go into the franc. But this is a market that's now probably going to anticipate that risk aversion is going to be consensus trade. If we get more tightening by the Fed, if we see that the market's, tentative scaling into risky positions and buying these banks right now was premature. So I think there's still a lot of downside risk for equities. So you'll probably see that should keep supporting the yen. I think, fixed income's gonna be a one-way trade once again, and also cryptos are gonna shine. Cryptos, this is their moment right now. They're having a good opportunity here because people are looking to get away from traditional financing, and that's been kind of driving some of that DeFi trade. And it's amazing to see Bitcoin at one point today, it was closer to 40,000 than it was to the November lows. I think now that's been wiped away, but still, definite amazing to see how resilient Bitcoin has been. And then nothing trumps gold. Trump gold is this was a nice moment for gold. I think you saw it really shows that it's still a true safe haven, and it really has outperformed here given the current macro backdrop.
Yeah, the old pet rock is still doing its job with gold here. It's still acting as a safe haven in times of market turmoil. And so, very nice move in the precious metals. But as you outlined, pretty big move in Bitcoin and a lot of the other altcoins. I know that you follow both sectors closely, but let's just focus on the cryptos. What do you make of this recent rally where banks are being rattled, where confidence in the fiat system is being rattled, and yet the cryptos are kind of finding a new lease on life?
I think right now we're seeing a lot more interest into crypto, and I think for some people that really follow the cryptoverse, you've lost a couple big banks that were key and vital to the way a lot of crypto companies had their exposure to traditional finance. It looks like there's this complacent view that we'll see. Someone will pick up the distressed assets of Signature Bank and be able to kind of pick things up where they were left off. That might end up being the case, but I think there's still going to be some short-term hurdles here for crypto. But still, this is a market that lost over 77% of its value since the record highs. A lot of the bad news was priced in, and you'll probably see that traders are going to be skeptical here, as far as that we'll see a return to that selling pressure. So I think a lot of people feel are growing confident that the bottom's been put in, and we'll see how crypto can perform. But if these Fed rate cut bets continue to gain traction, if we're headed towards a recession, crypto is in a good position where it could still outperform. I mean, right now it's still looking at major outperformance against, a lot of the other assets it's compared to, equities, commodities. It's really providing some significant moves. Some fixed income could give it a run for its money, and if you're bearish natural gas. But I think this is a market that is now anticipating that people are going to be a little bit more constructive with crypto, and I think 30,000 is that key level. 30 to 40,000 was where a lot of people got in. A lot of people were holding big losses. So we'll see if they remain confident in the space, or if they just say, this was too risky, this is not my cup of tea, and they just abandon the trade, or if they decide that, this might warrant more money back into it, as the upside potential might outweigh the risks to the downside. So we'll see what happens with crypto, but this has been a rather impressive move higher, and we'll see what happens. And I think the next couple months will be key for the outlook for Bitcoin.
Thanks for sharing that outlook with us, Ed. And yeah, Bitcoin's up around 28,000 as we record this, just a little under there at present, that 30,000 level. We'll keep our eye on that. And I guess you'd thrown in natural gas in that last comment. Let's talk about natural gas, but let's more importantly talk about oil. Oil and nat gas have both pulled back a lot from where they were trading last year. But just really in the last couple of weeks, and on the backs of some of this volatility in the markets, we've seen oil pull back down into the mid-60s. U.S. nat gas is down around 2.28 right now, so still hovering the low $2 area. Do you think that's going to actually help with the inflation picture? What does this do for energy companies? What's your general take on oil and nat gas, Ed?
I think for oil and nat gas, we've seen some demand destruction take place. I think this was not a cold winter, so prices for heating and power plant fuel, they kind of halved. So this has been an environment where I think a lot of energy companies were stunned that it was just consistent weakness here. But you're still looking at an oil market that is tight, or not tight, but it could easily flip back to being very tight. I think that there was so much anticipation that you would see the refilling of stockpiles, you would have a better China reopening or steady reopening, and it looks like we're just not getting that strong argument for higher crude prices over the short term. And I think for a lot of traders, this is a market that you're seeing persistent recession worries that, it's difficult to be optimistic for the outlook. And given, I think the uncertainty with not just the Fed will do, the ECB, there's a lot of traders anticipating that the demand outlook is going to be very bumpy over the short term. And you're probably seeing OPEC is still seeing steady production. Russia's still able to sell their crude, so we're not seeing any significant shortfalls. So I think there's probably anticipation here that it's going to be tough for crude to really bounce back until unless we have some type of supply shock or a major turnaround with the outlook. And right now it seems with the US headed towards recession and China on the verge of easing more, they need to provide more support. The short-term outlook has been really abysmal. So I think crude will should find some support given the lack of investment in wells. So I think WTI, does it have the potential to drop a few more dollars? Yes, but I think that's where you'll probably see people become more constructive. I think 60 will be very key support, but we'll see what happens. I think depends on if some of the worst case scenarios play out, major policy mistake by the Fed, severe recession, then yes, 60 could easily be taken out, but I'm anticipating that won't become the base case.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there, Ed, but we'll keep our eyes on that $60 level in WTI, see if that finds a floor and if it gives a little bit of a base for energy investors to build off of. We'll see what it does to the inflation figures as we have seen energy prices pull back nicely over the first quarter of the year here. And we'll keep our eyes on Bitcoin, on gold, on the banking sector, and all the crazy things going on in the markets, Ed. Just appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here at the KE Report, and looking forward to talking again next week once we know what Powell says midweek. And until then, safe trading to you, Ed.
Thank you. You have a good one too.